An kasani kasan kinyin tsunga tu shi karo tsungore sene jel ya tanga tu karo ngote na gore lam na tanga tu ki samno la ya chi di tsam ki ane di ki tuya da tunga se yi tanda la ya lega jang jang jie jie dwe pa di chi di tsam ki dewa tunya da tunga se di ka samno di an di kuno di da di no churu cha gore es chisam D군노디토네 내돈돈달이야 묘모바 찾아 뻥비 뻥비기 타르바세 토야기 군노디니 시켜오래 군노디 키에제 아니 군노디 키에제네 디돈달이야 추름소야다 안진바다야 안잠바다 세와 인지 고며 어두스네 안자주 생고며데 냠년도 세고래 세세 나도 안두스네 데니야 신의 주야디 데르와다
Good morning. But what we've been looking at is an exhortation from the Gyalwa Gendun Gyatso for us to look at our minds and to come to recognize within ourselves the degree to which our mind and therefore our physical and verbal activities are focused solely on this life's events and activities. The fault of having our mind solely focused on this life's events is that this is a particularly narrow perspective, looking not beyond this life and seldom even beyond our immediate future. And such a narrow perspective makes it much more likely that we'll engage in non-virtue and do so frequently. And moreover, the virtue we do accumulate will be weak in strength. So rather what we need to do, is having recognized this, what we need to do is cultivate a far-sighted outlook, looking beyond this life, looking at the need to accumulate causes to have a good rebirth and to attain liberation and enlightenment itself. And thereby, with such a motivation, engage in the accumulation of those causes through ethics, generosity, patience, and so forth. Building on this, and the next key point is we must not delay. When we come to accept the need for a wider perspective, we must not delay in acting under the influence of this way of thinking, because our situation is not stable. Our life will end, our circumstances will change. When we look at this, we recognize that it will not be long before everyone, everything, and I will all be gone. Therefore, we must apply ourselves now to transform our mind.
Dundro da chi, lui di kewa ma to, samlo dundro da chi, bar cha ro go, re se chi. え、どんどんね、そういう、違う、財団のやだ、設定が関係あると、多分で、この時、その段階で、じゃあ、まず、見てけ、どんどん、実際また、その段階とかね、どんどんだ、違う、違う、違う、違う、違う、違う、違う、違う、違う、違う、違う、違う、違う、違う、違う、違う、違う、違う、違う、違う、違う、違う、違う、違う、違う、違う、違う、違う、違う、違う、違う、違う、違う、違う、違う、違う、違う、違う、違う、違う、違う、違う、違う、違う、違う、違う、違う、違う、違う、違う、違う、違う、違う、違う、違う、違う、違う、違う、違う、違う、違う、違う、違う、違う、違う、違う、違う、違う、違う、違う、違う、違う、違う、違う、違う、違う、違う、違う、違う、違う、違う、違う、違う、違う、違う、違う、違う、違う、違う、違う、違う、違う、違う、違う、違う、違う、違う、違う、違う、違う、
When this life ends, all our worldly possessions that we've valued so and put such energy into accumulating, as well as the relationships we fostered with loved ones and friends, none of these will be able to accompany us into our next life, nor all the worldly knowledge that we have accumulated. None of this can accompany us. What does, though, what solely does, though, is the imprints that we have accumulated. And these imprints are through this transformation of our thought process, of developing a mind that is not overcome by distraction to mundane pleasures and problems. By developing a far-sighted outlook, we can develop a powerful, virtuous imprint in what remains of this life. Imprints from engaging in acts of generosity, or developing the mind wishing to give, the mind of ethical restraint, patience, love and compassion, and so forth. Developing these minds are creating imprints on our continuum that will bring us not only happiness in this life, but these imprints, as they ripen in future lives, are the causes that lead us to continue our spiritual development, progressing towards the attainment of lasting inner peace, lasting stable happiness. Without transforming our mind in this way, and thereby accumulating imprints of great value, we can continue to live a life really not so different from an animal. On the surface, of course, there are differences, but the minds are quite similar in that they are focused on overcoming mundane problems and attaining mundane pleasures. That, if that is the sole focus of one's attention, it's not particularly different from an animal. And there the great lot is, with this rebirth we've attained, we have incredible human potential. This intelligence that we have enables us to radically transform our mind. And this will be lost otherwise. So therefore this great need to develop an outlook, an expansive mind, with great inner strength, focused on cultivating the causes for lasting happiness. The 15th verse, friends and loved ones who are not wholesome companions are ultimately deceptive and are unworthy of trust. Because of these reasons, preoccupation with this life must be renounced. Please, by every possible means, accomplish the profound Dharma. friends and loved ones who are not wholesome companions. We divide those that we have connection with or relationship with. We can divide those into virtuous friends and non-virtuous friends. So there are those who encourage us in non-virtue. So this can be through our relationship with them. Our activities or our conversation is in the direction or on the side of non-virtue. These are unwholesome friends because whilst they are certainly our friends, we have a relationship, a friendly outlook towards them, the result of this relationship is that we accumulate non-virtue under their influence. And probably we influence them in a similar way. Here, with this so-called friend, we are accumulating the causes for further suffering. And we are not accumulating the causes for lasting happiness. So these are unwholesome friends. Wholesome friends, or literally virtuous friends, it's the same word for a spiritual teacher. But here in the broader meaning, virtuous friends are friends who encourage us in virtue. So it's still people we have a close connection with, but the relationship is wholesome. And there, when we are in their company, we are encouraged to continue to engage in the accumulation of virtue. And these friends are our virtuous friends, our wholesome friends. In the second line, we see that such friends, unwholesome companions, are ultimately deceptive and are unworthy of trust. From the context of the text, we understand that what is meant by unwholesome companions, we should approach in a broader way. It includes those who don't necessarily urge us in non-virtue, for example, that we talk in, together with in a non-virtuous manner, but being people who are focused solely on the attainment of happiness in this life and focused on talking about all the problems and difficulties solely of this life with no perspective broader than that, we end up strengthening our habituation to our focus on mere mundane pleasures and keeping our view, our outlook, limited. Such relationships also restrict us. And we can see, therefore, that through such relationships, we lose the opportunity to cultivate the causes that will lead to lasting happiness, the happiness that we truly desire. And in that way, we come to understand that such companions are ultimately deceptive and are unworthy of trust, in that it's not that they are untrustworthy or trying to deceive us, but we think that this relationship is a relationship that brings happiness. But the happiness that follows is worldly. It's mundane in that it's transitory, it will be experienced and exhausted in this life. This relationship doesn't lead to the accumulation of causes that lead to lasting happiness. the attainment of liberation and enlightenment. And in that way, we are deceived by the relationship, not necessarily by the companion, but we are deceived by the relationship in that we believe this relationship will lead to a happiness that it cannot provide. The verse concludes, because of these reasons, preoccupation with this life must be renounced. Please, by every possible means, accomplish the profound Dharma. Here we are encouraged to look at our relationships and see the potential danger that comes from our relationships with people who are focused solely on this life. The inspiration that may well have arisen to look beyond this life, to transform our outlook, this is difficult to develop and sustain if we are relying on those who do not share this outlook, because they will not support us in our development. In fact, they may actively discourage us, think what we're doing is a waste of time. So we need to recognize that unwholesome companions includes both those who encourage us in non-virtue, either in behavior or speech, or who in whose company we end up wasting the opportunity to accumulate virtue. What we need to do, as the verse says, we need to renounce preoccupation with this life. This means lifting our view. And to enable us to do so, whilst we will continue to interact with all types of people, those that we should rely on are those who are supportive for our determination to transform our mind, to broaden our outlook, and to have a mind focused on liberation and enlightenment. And the way to transform our mind is by, in the fourth line, by every possible means, accomplish the profound Dharma. And this then refers to the meditations that have been outlined, both the preliminary meditation, so as to give rise to this strength of mind, a determined, focused, resolute mind, which were those on the precious human rebirth, death and impermanence, and so forth. And then to accumulate the transformative causes that will lead to liberation and enlightenment, namely, meditating on love and compassion, generosity, ethical restraint, patience, joy, perseverance, concentration, and the wisdom realizing emptiness. These are the profound the causes of the profound Dharma that will lead to the attainment of the goal. The other causes, death and impermanence, precious human rebirth and so forth, lead to the development of the mind that will be focused, that will have the sufficient strength to accumulate those causes.
The 16th verse.
This banquet of sense pleasures, wealth and possessions are servants of Yama, enemies leading your mind astray. Your body in the full bloom of youth is like a delightful garden, similar to a rainbow appearing in the sky. Looking at the first two lines, this banquet of sense pleasures, wealth and possessions are servants of Yama, enemies leading your mind astray. The first line is very broad. Wealth and a variety of possessions is quite clear. Sense pleasures refers to all that we perceive through sight, smell, taste, touch, and enjoy. So this is very broad. We include, for example, going to a pleasing environment, beautiful places. So this refers then, in this first line, everything that we rely on for mundane happiness. And the fault, as we've been hearing, is not the experience of mundane happiness, but it's our striving for it, in particular the mental occupation to achieve it, as well as feelings relating to its loss and so forth. And accompanying this, when we experience these pleasures, the fault that is made is seeing this as the best that we can attain and being satisfied with that. This very limited view, now in the second line, are servants of Yama, enemies leading your mind astray. So this Yama again refers to our variety of afflictions that lead us astray from virtue. So here it's specific to being caught up in the mundane pleasures of this life, or the striving for them and the enjoyment of them. That view, that outlook, is the enemy that leads our mind astray from virtue.
Then Liu Langsu Jibe Kasati Gung Kala Shevi Chasundra Sitangu Liu Tetang Yubata and Chasangasu Subuti Mene and Ji Nimale Namka Gung Sen Namka Sadu Namgalia and Pa Chasen Shayondu and Dina Chiguares.
Got a better The verse concludes with, your body in the full bloom of youth is like a delightful garden, similar to a rainbow appearing in the sky, in a clear sky. We know that when you see a rainbow in a clear sky, it's beautiful, but it's quickly gone. It's transitory. So too is the pleasure we take in perceiving that pleasure of the senses. That pleasure of seeing a beautiful rainbow in a clear sky, that too doesn't last. Nor does the strength and vigor of a young body. And in fact, the body of this life, this too does not last. All the pleasures that arise through our senses, enjoyable sights, things that we listen to and enjoy, taste, smell, and touch, are quickly gone. So too, our wealth and our possessions. This we need to remind ourselves of again and again. Because not only do they change momentarily, there are constant stream of causes encouraging a rapid decline. We know our own financial situation can rapidly change. Through a loss of a job, a bad investment, our financial situation can rapidly change. We also know for our own health too. Through meeting a small cause of a virus or bacteria or having an accident, our situation can rapidly change. And this is the meaning of an analogy, likening our good health, our body, our life in its entirety, as well as sense pleasures, wealth, and possessions, to being like a rainbow appearing in a clear sky. The 17th verse, your cherished home, treasured possessions, and dear family are extraordinary transients and are like an illusory horse or elephant. Because of these reasons, preoccupation with this life must be renounced. Please, by every possible means, accomplish the profound Dharma. Your cherished home, treasured possessions, and dear family. These are all impermanent phenomena. They change momentarily. But we do not relate to them in this way. We relate to them as if they will last. And when we suddenly are aware that they do not, we have a reaction, almost a surprise. We need to reflect on this to come to recognize that our cherished home, treasured possessions and dear family are being impermanent. They are not stable. And therefore, they are not reliable because they are changing. And this is not relating to them in this way leads to unhappiness and disappointment.
And 啊，所以三毛那拉大块顶不匀的钱，每天什么的，什么单过了，这提大把买了，其实这是啥？给几个几几给我住过一点吧，一点没人没人玩的，其实有没给那些人，家孙那些人，有钱的人，这时候呀，现金钞票给别大块顶不现钱给落的怕略些，安尼，确确定了，安尼这个确实没人的，确定人家结果了，也是些。
Need to reflect on how these are extraordinarily transient and are likened to an illusory horse or elephant, and we can relate to this in a similar way to the rainbow in the previous verse, seeing that something that appears to the mind as having some essence and therefore a quality of lasting, this is actually not the case in reality. Therefore, into the third line, because of these reasons, preoccupation with this life must be renounced. Because the way we relate to what we are preoccupied by is exaggerating their value. For example, seeing them as being lasting, stable, and reliable in relation to our objects of our sense pleasures, wealth, possessions, our home, and our, those we have good relationships with. But this is not in accordance with reality. They are like an illusion, like a rainbow. They are transitory and will pass and therefore are not stable or reliable. Then into the fourth line, please by every possible means accomplish the profound Dharma. This is the same as then, so these three verses have the same meaning. So focus on impermanence so as to shake us up from this grasping at things existing permanently when they do not, and rather through developing this broader perspective focused on developing the minds of the Dharma. In this collection of verses, twice it says, please by every possible means accomplish the profound Dharma. In particular, yesterday afternoon session, the one preceding this, I discussed what is meant by profound Dharma. So just to recap very briefly on that. Meditation, so this is the meditation that comes on having built the foundation of having developed a broader perspective, through having reflected on the preciousness of this life and its impermanence. Here we recognize the equality between us and all beings, recognizing that my deep innermost yearning is to live a meaningful life, attaining and experiencing peace of mind, a mind undisturbed by any form of pain or suffering. And this wish is not unique to me. It's shared by everyone I've ever met across the expanse of lifetimes. All beings without exception yearn for lasting, stable happiness. But we all suffer. Despite wanting happiness, despite everything we think, say and do, being motivated to achieve happiness and overcome problems, we continue to suffer. And even looking at the coarsest level of our life, we see how unwanted circumstances befall us continuously, one after the other. And this is because ourselves and all beings suffer for the same reasons, our afflictions. So here we need to, having recognized this equality between us, we then move into reflecting on the sufferings of samsara, where there are two parts, reflecting on the realms of wherever one is born, suffering is experienced. Beings everywhere cannot experience peace as long as they are bound in samsara, bound by contaminated karma and afflictions. And that then takes us into reflecting on the causes of our suffering, in particular our afflictions. This then leads to the generation of the mind of definite emergence, the determination to definitely emerge from the suffering realms of samsara and attain the state of liberation, where the mind is liberated from samsara. And then we apply this. Of course, in the start of this meditation, we looked at the equality between self and others. Having done so, it's now very easy in the meditation to apply this determination to gain a liberation from samsara to others. Whether they recognize this or not, this is what they yearn for. But recognizing that they are trapped in a pitiful situation of, despite desiring happiness, continuing to create the causes for suffering, we generate compassion. We generate love, longing for them to be freed of this and experiencing lasting happiness. We then develop this further, developing the altruistic attitude of universal responsibility, where we see the welfare of others, their attainment of lasting happiness, as our individual responsibility. It's not the problem of someone else to help them. It's my individual responsibility. Thereafter, we develop bodhicitta, which is the determination that in order to fulfill this mere wish to be of real help to others, I have to become a Buddha, the most skilled of guides. And therefore, everything I do from now will be motivated to create the causes to become a Buddha for the sake of others. And that then leads us into the meditation on the six perfections, of which we've looked at four. Because these are how we create the causes whilst conjoined with this mind of bodhicitta that will lead to enlightenment. In particular, the foundation of ethics, a mind that is restrained from coming under the influence of afflictions, the mind of generosity, the wish to give, the wish to help. We looked at patience, the mind that is undisturbed in the face of adversity, whether it comes from without or within, and then joyous perseverance, the fourth of the six. The mind that takes delight in virtue.
That is, Rang Jebar Zimbi Shabati, Marikin Jime Par Tatu Jing, Danine Tashin Jewa Yi, Sim Janju Tambar Jebar Tarals.
The 18th verse. Grasping at the self as dear, a looped rope that has since beginning this time continuously bound you night and day. From now and from your heart, exchanging yourself with others, I implore you to generate the sacred mind of enlightenment.
Rang 디기 안가 랑제버스네 셴야와든 랑제버스네 랑제 랑이 디기 거야 된다라 랑제버스네 셴야 안가가 돼야당 셴리 채워져야다 셴레 뇌버져야지 지금 오래서 지자디 셴레 뇌버져야다 셴레 채워져서 랑제버스 미치진이 돈을 용고 오래서 이제 랑제는 디기 다 탑발 마서는 아주 즉 파다 셴에 딩아 다 디레 탑발 마서 랑제진 디레스 지자다 디기 Nyemanima, Nyemani Dadi Badu, Gumache Baji, Rangchis, and Samana, Yue Baji, Digipa, Damjene, and Kurviki, Duma de la Taji, Taba, the Taba, Salia, Joma Juedi, Diris, or the Rangchi Batsin Big, Shabadi, Narkinchi member, Tatu Chings.
The verse starts by answering the question why, since beginningless time across this expanse of lifetimes, have we not yet attained enlightenment? And the answer is in the first two lines. Grasping at the self as dear, a looped rope that has since beginningless time continuously bound you night and day. Grasping at the self as dear is a more literal way to translate what is normally called the self-cherishing mind. This is a subtle mind, a mind that we're not always aware of, that grasps at ourselves as being dear, first and foremost, wanting our own happiness. And this is like a looped rope, or more commonly we can think of a lasso or a noose. You can use either in your own analogies. So the grasping at the self as dear is a mind that, like a noose or like a lasso, has kept us bound continuously since beginningless time. And therefore, with our own self-interest first and foremost, we have continued to make the causes for suffering rather than for lasting happiness.
Nesada rangji zingi samnodiki dweisha ne dezi dwele di ligore kongroi na ngajia yi ne shen le cewi jewa jebis da rangji zindele ligore jirwa da. Dini zada nganazugi dusi ne kanis ligi dusi nganazugi shimju ra jebada rakba rakba rupi nganazugi hako tukure.
The grasping, all, if you think of all the afflictions that you have identified within yourself, they all come from grasping at oneself as dear. Attachment, wanting things to go our way. Anger, wanting to think not to be harmed, not to be harmed. Any wish to harm others, all comes from grasping at oneself as dear. This we can come to understand on a coarse level.
Then
to see the role that grasping at oneself as dear plays in our lives. It arises the vast majority, perhaps all of our thoughts, our wish for happiness, as well as our wish to be freed from problems. These very fundamental desires that all beings share come from the wish for my happiness, my wish to be free from problems. So it's putting oneself first and foremost. It's in the mundane things of our life, wanting to enjoy a nice meal. But it's at every level that we have this wish of ourselves first. So from this, all our afflictions arise. Wanting to put ourselves, wanting our own happiness first, wanting to overcome our problems first and foremost, we therefore justify harmful activities. We will knowingly deceive others, knowingly take advantage of others, and even if we know in a particular circumstance we really shouldn't, we will justify it. Because the underlying motivation is I want, or I don't want. Placing ourselves first and foremost. All the conflict we experience in our life and what we observe in society comes from the wish for my happiness. And therefore, when a situation or another person or a group are perceived as impeding my happiness, harmful intent, anger, and so forth arise, because they are impeding my happiness. All our afflictions arise from grasping at the self as dear. Attachments, anger, pride, all of them. These are being afflictions, non-virtuous, and thereby create the causes for suffering. And when they ripen in propelling karma, they lead to rebirth in the lower realms.
Rang jeba jimbe pene ngale ngala cha cha da digu du pene rang jeba nga ngala le na chosa nga na shiru shin ne nga ro shin ne rang jeba jimbe je sin ji yo ba yin za o kyoran inji ge jeb shin bin du la ne na ya ga gu ma ro wa za je sin ji ge o de kyoran ge ji shin ge je je she jeb da digu men do kyoran de myo de da digu men la ha nga nga ji ge rang je sin ji yo ba za ga gu ma ro wa ji ma ga de ni ma ge we sam da shi ge ma ge sam ko ro shen ya ani je da hang 제 야구 믿는 선배 삼르게들이 너도 시작을 제가 랑지는 되게 제가 나와 저게 랑제 받으면 삼르서 저거 거부 예배시나 밤을 본게 나다 소소 사다 저거 있나다 소소게 랑지는 나랑게 이 인세배 삼르 제진 숙침 부여받나 소소게 되받아 마주 파셔 되게 캠멜레나 남자들이 혼란이로 와 뭐네 전에 미소소랑 되버려요래 아니 뒤로 와 제자데 인지미지 네이디 케멜레네 아니 야고 말해서 콘랑고 요 말어 와 이내 나스 나래 나 장기 제진게 삼는지 나랑 그 되버들라 아니 네 되버만 어 네 되버도 그 켈리 맞아 네디 야고 매바 그 나래 야고 매바 따기도 선배 삼 다시는 안 저기 아니 콘랑아야 다 아니 두스네 강아 치고로 와 네네 자 랑 제진 삼버디 나 저기 Gyun tam je ngā zhū gāngā tēsāy dhū bōdā rāng jīzhīn tēl lī wō rē. Shē zādā ngā zhū gā kō wā lē yā thār mā tū bā jē tam gān dhī yā rāng jīzhīn rē. Nā mā ngā sōn mā tī rū gān dhī yā rāng jīzhīn gī dhī gī nyō mō jī yā jē lē sā chū jī mā tī wō rē. Sē zā wā dhīn dhī 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 yung wō rē. Sē jī ngā sōn wō rē. Rāng jīzhīn dhī lā dhī nyō mō jī nyō mō dhī wā lē sā lē yī wā kō wā lē ngā sōn mā tī rū wō rē. Shē zā dhī zhū nyō yā chā sāng zō rāng jīzhīn dhī lī yung wō rē. Sē jī.
If I take myself as an illustration, if someone criticizes me for, you've lived here for 6 years and your English is still so poor, to the extent that I feel unhappy by that criticism, this shows to me the rise of my self-cherishing mind. Or if students are not finding my teachings enjoyable or beneficial, to the extent that I take that as personal criticism, that I take this personally, this shows the arisal of grasping at myself as dear. Maybe we'll see it play out very clearly in society and in one's own lives, is even where people are very close, dear friends, loved ones, even in the very best of relationships, when the other person doesn't agree with your own view, your own wish to do something or have something, what arises in your mind is an affliction, perhaps even anger, but certainly some degree of aversion towards them. And so often we see dear friends torn apart by disagreement, rather than letting things go, because of the arisal of self-cherishing, of grasping at oneself as dear. From this, our afflictions always follow, attachment and aversion. We recognize the stream. We've spoken about it before, but I'm expanding it here. We've spoken how from the afflictions we accumulate contaminated karma, and we accumulate non-virtuous karma. But these, the afflictions, come from grasping at oneself as dear.
Rang chasing, that is around to get a rang chasing some of your rest. Chis and rang chasing some of the pa door shang the passage, shen chevertin. That is in Andulia, rang chevertin, shen yawa to watch your wa, di rang yawa to. Chis and shen chevertin, rang yawa to be loche kihores. Chis and shen chevertin, rang yawa to city. Shen you don't know how to get a jaggins. Now shen you don't know how to go with China came into shen the pandos in the digitus. Shen the apostle digitus and big that. Shen chevas imagine. Just a shen the digituia. Shen the digitunas and shen do a senas and big. Didn't allow Marangi, Karikalegas again at jaggins. On Dushine, then Marangi, young Gazette and a young Kugi, Sepiki, Denizine, and shen chis of Gomkules. That is, Shanches of Gomia de Ranches in Lodore. She's a ranches in Lodi, Kowale, Yomogi, Guchevore. Shanjevas in Lodigi, and Ranchin Niga Rang Dewa, Shan Dewa, Rangi, and the Samlo de Kivicho, Gonu Gondu Penne, and the Janjus Sim Gulikia, Tabat Tamji, Sanjo Gova to be Gucha to Ware, Chesantia, Shanches in Gomia, Danine, Dashan Jewa. That same Dingneva, only Rang Ranches in Samlo Pa Dorje, Shanjeva Tin.
This training presented in the 18th verse starts with recognizing the role that grasping at oneself as dear plays, seeing how it has kept us bound in suffering, and understanding that role. This then leads to the companion part here, which is seeing it as faulty, pervaded by faults, and therefore it's essential to abandon. Then one moves into the second part of the meditation, which is on how to abandon it, on developing the antidotal way of thinking that will reduce and eventually eliminate the grasping at oneself as dear. And that is presented in the third line. From now and from your heart, exchange yourself with others. This is the practice then of equalizing, exchanging self with others. So we have already now recognized that we grasp at oneself as dear. And this serves to keep us distant, apart from others, this feeling of separation that we have with others. This is a mind, it's consciousness. And the way to counteract consciousness is by developing the contrary attitude. And the contrary attitude is one of holding others as supremely dear. So it's taking one attitude and exchanging it for another. To change the attitude of grasping at oneself as dear, exchanging that for holding others as dear. Or to use the common translation, exchanging the self-cherishing mind for the other-cherishing mind. The self-cherishing mind places one's own happiness first and foremost. Even when we do things for others, we take care of ourselves first and foremost. Here, when we exchange yourself for others, it's not exchanging our bodies or something material. It's exchanging one attitude for a second attitude. So rather than holding oneself as supremely dear, we hold others as supremely dear. It's an exchange of attitude. And to develop this attitude, we first have reflected on the fault and the need to abandon the self-cherishing mind, and now wanting to develop the attitude of holding others as dear, we place their need for happiness before our own, first and foremost. And we develop the outlook that from now, my mind, and therefore my physical and verbal activities, will be focused on achieving the welfare of others, helping them overcome problems and suffering, helping them accumulate the causes for lasting happiness. And we need to actually uproot such a deep-seated mind. We need to develop the attitude of holding others as dear in a very powerful manner. We need to develop a strength of mind that sincerely holds, no matter the hardships, I will endure in placing the needs of others first, and help them to experience happiness and overcome suffering. This then is how we overcome the self-cherishing mind through developing the other-cherishing mind, exchanging a selfish attitude for a truly wholesome attitude. Several preceding verses, we were implored to use every possible means to accomplish the profound Dharma, cultivating engage in the practice of equalizing and exchanging self with others is another technique within those of the profound Dharma. What we're doing here is exchanging the attitude of grasping at oneself as dear, exchanging that for holding others as dear. Instead of having ourselves first and foremost in our motivation, we hold the welfare of others first and foremost in our motivation. Throughout this text, we've been developing a variety of motivations to achieve happiness. Here, we place the emphasis on may others achieve happiness. We can apply this to all the goals we've generated. May others accumulate the causes to ensure good rebirth. May others turn away from the mundane preoccupations of this life. May others thereby accumulate the causes for good rebirth. May others generate love and compassion in their hearts so as to create the causes for enlightenment in others. May others abide in ethics. so as their mind is not overwhelmed by afflictions and thereby create causes for good rebirths. So in this way, all the motivations we have generated, we now generate them for others. And not as a mere aspiration, a mere wish, but accompanying this is the determination, and I will help them achieve this. I will help them develop an ethical outlook. I will help them develop lines of actual love and actual compassion. This is then exchanging self for others. We replace the attainment of lasting happiness of others as our forefront, at the forefront of our motivation. Whereas now, the attainment of our own happiness is at the forefront of our motivation.
Rang yawa dogure sidyan yang samadhi karo korsi gresine oda rang jen cheba de yang sosura yawa tobene ani sosugi pango gyobu chaya sosule lega male chena kya shengi tenda kya chedene tene sosule tungere ayo mar soso kanga chigre sambige ta samadhi nga jo yosigi ruwa de dogaro shi.
When one hears this presentation, certainly meditates on it sincerely, the obstacle that arises, the doubt that will arise is, but what about me? If I am focused solely on others, I am going to experience loss. I will experience a material loss and loss in other ways, because I'll be focusing on others. I'm going to experience more problems and difficulties, and this I really don't want. When a doubt such as this and others arise, this is to be welcomed, because through the arisal of doubts, they can be eliminated. When one thinks about things deeply and sincerely, doubts should arise. So here the thought is, for example, if now everything I do is supposed to be focused on the happiness of others, surely all the food I have, I should give to others. All the money I have, I should give to others. Every possession I have, I should give to others. So what about me? So this is a good doubt to have, because if that doubt because by having the doubt one can dispel it. Without dispelling it, one will hold back from the practice, not understanding it, seeing it as extreme, and therefore not engage in it. So here we, to overcome the doubt, we reflect that the purpose of Buddhism is to develop our wisdom. So we utilize wisdom here, taking the example of giving away all my food. Whilst I need to give food to others who are in need, to be able to help others in a sustained manner throughout this life, this body needs to be healthy. Therefore, I also need to eat sufficient nutritious food. I also need to spend time exercising, looking after this body. Also, I need to ensure I wear suitable clothing so that this body is cared for, because on the basis of a healthy body, I can engage in far more virtuous activities than if I'm impeded by ill health. And so as to be able to afford suitable clothing, as well as to live in a suitable home that protects me from the environment, I need to go to work. I need to have a career so that I can have the money that is required in society so that I can look after myself and thereby be of help to others. And likewise with material possessions. There is a level of comfort that I require. And for this, I need to have an income. Without these things, I could not help others. So therefore, I do need possessions. I do need a home and so forth. So this then gives us a more balanced perspective. And just like before, when we were looking at abandoning the concerns of this life, the preoccupation with this life, doesn't necessarily mean abandoning going to work or eating food. It's about changing our mind. So too here. Moreover, when one is thinking focused on others, one will do some things that one has always done before and continue to do so, but do them differently. And there'll be new things that one will do that one did not do differently. Doing them both now, both groups, with the motivation of benefiting others. So for example, when there's leftover food, perhaps before one threw it away, or maybe one gave it to one's pets, but just as a way of clearing the plate. Here, with an other cherishing mind, one will have eaten one's full of nutritious food. Now there's an abundance, one will share it with others, so as to alleviate their suffering. And in this way, with this motivation, one does not throw the food away, but gives it to the pet or to some insects. And one does so with a remarkable motivation. And thereby, the mere act of giving food is now not just clearing a plate, but it serves to ease the suffering of a being, and thereby may I create merit so as to ease the suffering of all beings. This is how we create vast stores of merit through primarily changing our mind, and sometimes not even our activities.
Tine kala sekyu de rang xian jie ba zime sam tuan de sa guo re. Ti sa de su 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 bu le ni ping guo re. Ti ge wa de sa guo re. Ti ni sam tang guo re sung guo wa.
And a further change in attitude that can help create vast stores of merit is right now when we eat, our focus is primarily on, I hope this is delicious, and whilst tasting it, oh, it is, or unfortunately it's not. Our own happiness. Be aware that in our body, we have a vast store of bacteria. Whether these have consciousness or not is a little hard to tell. But we know they feast off what enters into our stomach and our gut. So we can imagine that they do have consciousness, whether they do or not. We imagine so, that we are offering to them. So this meal is for my good health, my momentary pleasure, but also directly benefit comes to others.
Jeba zimbi ge samu da rang ya wa de xian jeba zimbi xian du xin de sam jiang jiang da di wei ne zi sa da su sui ge duan da di ge duan da ning bu zhu tu wo de xian sam ba xian ju sam jie duan da rang dun zhu tu wo rang dun pu tong cuo ba zhu tu wo de ene rang de wa xian de wa ra xin ni ga le ya di ju zhu tu wo de bian na zu de tong xiu su yu ba jiao ru mi xie du xin ne ji ge na zu ji da wei ne jiao ru mi xie ne ji ge di ne xian le Jambadan, Zivi, Yamlin, Sosora, Jamze, Janshu Sim Yamlin, and Shanley, and Jamze Yamlin, she would do such Kuma Chet. Yarm Jelia, and Chicky, me, Gaze, Galen, Chichung, Karina, Samlina, Gazeka Chasangi, Yarm Jelia, Chiga, Kurag, Kohopse, and Jarm Chigge, Chishu had, Chick Chasang, Jarm Jelia, and Chigge, Kobucheta, Chitigungura, Digarson, Shanjeva, Simbi, some of the Jiggy Delet in Ungurua. 当然是通讯是给我蹦蹦开始了被子让接着被让给马都没什么这个接着了你忙不给根据起来的密切上现代人不起来的就在让接着的先接着你的给让接吧被我让养护孤独身边接着你给让了那个人没得朋友没多少说说了呀说起来说不我心不用啊说说了马开个忙忙啊起来的但定啊所以通讯是给我的
但是你要这么做，这对先解把子呢，先来第一句话的，先解过中了，先别个多起来忙，俺那用个把定啊，这个谁顾着，像同学是就把也惹着了哇。其实今天晚上，在这地方就定了，那不晓得去吃饭，就送过来，就是让亲人下的怕多过来，就什么都弄出来，俺就同样的让亲人家了，更爱这个，女的点的提供过的怕多过来，他先解把子呢，什么都定了，就养呢，养多养呢，什么光景，女把吃了当过来，你给让亲人家来第一句话给底下吃过来，就是俺就说说让让，上级一个帮特别具体的点了点点过来，谢谢，那多那就送过来。
The second key point to make here in overcoming the doubt of what about me if I focus solely on others is that to the extent that one develops a genuine attitude, altruistic attitude, focused on the welfare of others first and foremost, one oneself will receive great benefit. While due to this focus on the welfare of others, clearly, due to our mental development and our expression of this physically and verbally, we bring benefit to others. This is clear. But through doing that, we create vast stores of merit, which brings great happiness to our mind, clears obstacles, enables our spiritual development, and our progression towards liberation and enlightenment. So in this way, our own benefit is achieved at the same time. So the benefit is for self and others. Where we can see a living example of this is His Holiness the Dalai Lama. He lives guided by love, compassion and bodhicitta with an attitude focused solely on others. And we see that he meets people from all walks of life people who otherwise would have no interest in meeting a spiritual leader. And we see from video or photographs the great joy in their minds at being in his presence. And we can compare this to video and photos of people when they meet other famous people, whether political leaders or others, who have great fame, great power, but are clearly self-centered. You can see the energy of the group. It's very different. So here, whether he says or does anything, due to the power of the love and compassion in his mind, had this benefit. With a large audience before him, they all benefit to the qualities of his mind, placing others first and foremost. And from his side, and beings like him, there's never a shortage of wholesome friends and people wanting to help and assist. And one's own emotional needs are never unfulfilled, and there's not ever a feeling of being alone, whether in the company of others or not. And this all comes from what prior to investigation seems like a paradox of placing others first and foremost. So this then is essential to reflect on, to give us the strength of mind to continue to strive to transform what we prioritize and value. The verse concludes, I implore you to generate the sacred mind of enlightenment. So this then, we are being encouraged, having generated or meditated on equalizing, exchanging self for others, to then generate bodhicitta, the mind of enlightenment, which is the determination to work for the welfare of others. So that's been generated through becoming the most skilled of guides, a Buddha, so that we can lead them to create the causes for happiness and eliminate the causes that will otherwise lead to suffering. So therefore, we take the meditation further and generate bodhicitta. Because all phenomena are dependent on labeling by mind, they do not exist by way of their own essence. By repeatedly meditating with meditative stabilization, please cut the root of samsara now. We've seen the sequence. The suffering that we experience and long to be freed from is a result that comes about in dependence on the ripening of karma. That karma is a result that has come about due to being accumulated by the afflictions. The afflictions have as their very root the ignorance of self-grasping. So in the previous verse, we mentioned that the afflictions come from grasping at the self as dear. Grasping at the self as dear is grasping at oneself as existing by way of its own nature, as existing truly. Therefore, we see the relationship between grasping at the self as dear, as a truly existent self, as dear, and the root of all suffering, the ignorance of self-grasping, the ignorance of grasping at the self as being truly existent, or existing by way of its own nature. This being the root of suffering then, this ignorance, is what we must abandon. And how does one abandon ignorance? Through developing the contrary mind of wisdom, in particular the wisdom realizing emptiness. Ignorance of self-grasping, which can also be called the ignorance of true grasping, is the root of all our suffering. Therefore, it's essential to understand this. Before we understand the ignorance, we need to understand what is grasped at, what this means. So to understand the term true existence, take, for example, our self. How does our sense of self, our sense of self-identity, appear to us? The way that it appears is as if it is self-existent. It exists by way, which means it exists by way of its own essence or nature or defining characteristics. There is some essence to our self by which it exists. It has its own defining nature by which it exists. This is how the self appears to us. To use other language, try and make it a bit clearer. It appears to be independent, which means not impacted by anything else. Because it exists by way of its own nature, it cannot be impacted by anything else because it already is self-existent. So therefore it appears to be unconnected to anything, fixed and static and unchanging. So this is how the self appears. We call this true existence, in that the way that it appears is seen to be how it exists, when in fact it does not exist in this way. The self and no other phenomenon exists in this way. Nothing exists truly or by way of its own nature or essence. So this is how the self, for example, appears. Then a consciousness grasps at the self as existing in the way that it appears. Because the self does not exist truly, this consciousness that grasps at it as existing truly, as existing the way that it appears, is not in accordance with reality, and therefore is an ignorance. The ignorance of self-grasping. Grasping at the self as being truly existence. Hence, ignorance of self-grasping, ignorance of true grasping. Not being in accordance with reality, it's a wrong consciousness. Being a wrong consciousness, it afflicts our mind and leads to all the other afflictions arising. Hence, it's the root cause of all our suffering.
Yomare. 지상간주가를 통고를 쓴다. 간라이마더는 코롱 오디, 간라이마더랑 원의 마주바디제대로. 지상간주 가르통고를 쓴다. 간라이마더는 코롱 오디, 간라이마더랑 원의 주비가 똥바지, 똥상차대로. 지상디하고 오래스. 지상디하고는 간라이마더랑 원의 주비가 똥바지, 똥사디 똥이세디래스. 디도 오래스. 디하고는 나 코롱기 원의 수 통고래. 원의 수 통해 대신 노트 집에 삼로 도주 오래세. 지상디 간라이마더랑 원의 마주바디 똥바니세. 디도 오래세. 디도 별로도 공파를 때네. 안 되겠네. 랑원의 주바 집에 도주 오래. 랑원의 주비 집에 도서는 싸워 매번 때 대략 대략 공정하게 뇨모바 기기 말해. 디마 전에 레앙아 바사게 말해. 디뇨 코와를 기하
All phenomena appear to exist by way of their own essence. And this is what is meant by the term true existence, or inherently existent, or existent by way of its own essence. They appear as if they exist by way of their own essence, whereas no phenomenon exists in this way. Then a consciousness grasps at it as existing in the way that it appears. This grasping consciousness is not in accordance with reality, therefore it's an ignorance. The way phenomena, for example the self, actually exist in reality is being empty of being established by way of their own essence. The way they appear to us is as being existing by way of their own essence, but in reality they are empty of existing by way of their own essence. This is how phenomena such as the self exist in reality. So just like in every aspect of our life, where we lack knowledge on a situation, we therefore have a degree of confusion, and therefore we are much more likely to make an error. Where we have good knowledge about a situation, we are much more likely to make a right decision. So similarly here, the consciousness is that of ignorance. It's a not knowing. It is therefore not being in accordance with reality, problems, faults will follow. And this is the process of ignorance leading to the afflictions and suffering. When we eliminate ignorance, completely eradicate it, the root cause of suffering then is gone. The root cause is gone, no result can follow, no affliction will follow. Therefore, no contaminated karma can ripen. Therefore, no suffering is experienced. When the root cause, the foundation of the sequence, is removed, everything falls apart. And in this way, freedom from suffering is achieved by the eradication, the complete eradication of this ignorance. Phenomena appear to exist by way of their own essence, whereas in reality they are empty of existing by way of their own essence. The phenomena do exist conventionally, and how so? As dependence arising. Dependence arising we can understand in many ways. The most common way to understand it is dependence on causes. And that can be expressed as interdependence. From causes, things arise. There's an interconnected relationship between phenomena.
And
Returning to verse 19, so we looked at the first two lines, because all phenomena are dependent on labeling by mind, so that's how they do exist. This is another class of dependent arising. They do not exist by way of their own essence. They are empty of existing by way of their own essence. Now the last two lines, by repeatedly meditating with meditative stabilization. This then refers to the union of calm abiding and meditative insight. By repeatedly meditating with such a powerful mind on emptiness and dependent arising, please cut the root of samsara now. The 20th verse. Your clinging to ordinary conceptions of foes, birth, death, and the bardo can be transformed in a single lifetime through skillful means into the three bodies of a Buddha. This may be your only chance to develop a path such as this. This verse then addresses when complete freedom and perfection can be attained, when one can become a Buddha for the sake of others. It can be done over many, many, many lifetimes, eons of time. But through applying oneself with skillful means, it can be done in this very life. The essential component is developing the union of bodhicitta and the wisdom directly realizing emptiness. And through this union, one can destroy our foes or our enemies of birth, death, and the bardo, or in English, the intermediate state. These can be transformed in a single lifetime through training with skillful means. So this verse recognizes our capacity to radically transform our mind in a way that is so hidden from us now that it seems inconceivable. But we can arise as Buddhas in a single lifetime. In the final verse, when covered with hair white like snow, wrinkles like waves and unsteady, having trained like this in the Dharma each day, your mind will be relaxed and at ease as if in the full bloom of youth.
Then ま、それはずっぽうのますの宣言部の宣言所ところで、やりやところで。実際でね、先で、パニュバで根本部でところで、でね、ジェパルキュルシナ
The text concludes with Gyawa Kinden Gyatso saying, training in the way that I have presented here, not sporadically, but building on the inspiration that has arisen, and training like this for an extensive period, your body will age. Whatever age you are now, you will see, and others will perceive, the physical decline. However, through training like this, your mind becoming entwined with the Dharma, in particular love, compassion, and the wisdom realizing emptiness, whilst the vessel will become aged and decrepit, the mind will be ageless, being likened here to having the vitality of youth. So through transforming the mind, through repeated training of an extensive period, it's likened to attaining an ageless state.
Om dele so gyochi tu dewa chenpe parane ku chenpe ranche longche sun le she tu ji chabe pa paketin chen ji shebla tu yis da ngon zhe din ma dirin da ji ji chup chawa re tinga di pe ju go ni ma duen ba yin go ni ma duen ba yin chi se
That then brings us to the conclusion of the text. I'm reciting for auspiciousness the first verse again. Om, may bliss and happiness prevail from a mind that is a palace of great happiness, a body with natural marks and signs, a perfected resource, speech of eloquent teachings raining down like nectar. My benevolent Father, I prostrate at your feet. The purpose of this custom is so as to create the auspicious connection that because you've now heard the first verse, to have the opportunity again to hear the whole text taught.
That is how it is. That's 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 how it is.
Has received with this text, the gift that one takes away, is the understanding of what meditation is, the need to repeatedly reflect on the Dharma, both in session and keep recalling it throughout the day, reminding oneself of the preciousness of this life and all that it can achieve, but how the situation is impermanent, as are all the things that we encounter and value. Reflecting on the suffering nature of samsara and conjoining that with bodhicitta, understanding that all beings are the same as us, longing for happiness, and developing the minds of love and compassion into that of bodhicitta, and holding all of this with the wisdom realizing emptiness, cultivating the mind of wisdom. So the encouragement, because you all have lives with a lot of activity and not so much free time. As much as you can, as frequently as you can, engage in these meditations. And to the extent, particularly in terms of frequency, change will come.
And the digitally accounts you call it on it and chick yam chick kewatu to your digital yamlin chia de answita, tarbata temchi can be go on to yagi, like digi sumbanajin the gewa chew or sumbanajin can also chew chevare, and the gechi gewaya was ayore, tarba temchi can be go on to you sa de are chisade man the me matoma the toye su drubuchin de chanzugi jablola ke mutoyagi bottom eva chi dure. ちなみにさ、今日の時、今日の時に、あの時、デニーチね、あの時、デニーチ、こう、やばらそう、さんびき、ガホゴミやで、やね、やと、もんばね、で、クソつけてない、今、デニーチね、ちゃう。ガホゴム、え、もんばね、デニーチ、ガン、トゥ、チキン、さんびき、ドゥンば、デニーチやで、ね、ゲーチもちゃこれ。
All of you, you gave up a very valuable resource to come here, free time. And you've heard these teachings, you've listened attentively, reflected well in the meditation sessions, and thereby you've accumulated vast stores of virtue. And this virtue is directed towards the attainment of liberation and enlightenment for yourselves, for the benefit of others. If this virtue, this vast store of virtue that we each have accumulated were to take form, it should be far, far too heavy for us to carry from here. But it will accompany us throughout this life and into our future lives. So I encourage you here to recognize the causes that you have created to come here and that you came here and endured hardships, perhaps with the cold in the early mornings, and generate joy at what you have done. And generate with this joy the aspiration to continue these meditations in your daily life, integrating them in your daily life, and continue again in the future to receive teachings and thereby add to your knowledge and skill, and thereby skill in meditation. Before we come to dedicate, I'll mention several key points for you to hold in mind whilst reciting the dedication verses. Firstly, this vast store of merit that we've accumulated may bring an end to all suffering in the world, thinking particularly of violence and conflict, as well as the suffering from illness.
で、じゃ、アンジェ、セベラギチコムチェやな。どうしてね、今日のやんじゃ。どうしてね、アンジ。でね、ただ、ならにりパ、シェアギシェシェね、ゲワサヤディ、ゲワヤコサヤラジラヨレ、ディチャザ、ミ、で、ゲンジェな、アンジェンセブコチェバダ、今日の時、で、ヨンジェ、サムデビギ、で、テソレティネ、マニリアゲワヤコサヤラヨレ、チェザディネシナ、今日のシャサラトゥチェジュエ。
Now I'm going to express my own personal thanks, but whilst expressing it, I encourage you to express it in the same way, because we have this interdependent relationship, and therefore the virtue that I and each of us have accumulated has come about independent on many causes, in particular each other. So first of all, I want to thank all of you for coming, because by you coming, you gave me the opportunity to once again read this text and reflect on its meaning and think about how I can present it and then to present it. And I've done so as best as I can in our time and with as pure motivation as I can generate. And by this, I know I've accumulated a vast store of merit. So thank you to all of you. And then moreover, one needs to really mention the staff of a teacher center, both the full-time staff and the voluntary staff who have made this event possible. In particular, in the forefront, Venerable Tsepel, who I have great confidence in her, and therefore know that the meditation she would have led would have been of great benefit for you. So I thank you to her as well, because she would have accumulated vast stores of merit, and independence on her kindness and energy over many years has brought great benefit to everyone here. And so too, I won't mention all the staff and volunteers here, but we can think of the director and the SBC and all others, who due to their endeavors, both here and the causes they created, so as to be able to help here, we have been able to enjoy this time together. Thank you very much, and we'll finish there. Thank you.